Hey, hope you are well out there in the world, wherever you are listening to the podcast from. So I wanted to let you know that it is the second to last episode of this season, of season two. Then we'll be taking a couple of weeks of break, probably about 3 weeks of a break, because we will be doing the 2021 Hormone Summit. Yes, it is here. For those of you that have listened to our past summits, it happens every September. This is our third annual one. It's kind of crazy. I didn't really mean for this to become an annual thing when I first started it, but that's how life goes sometimes, right? It's just been so good and so connective and fun, and I've gotten such good feedback each year that I just keep wanting to bring it back for you guys and give you more information. So mark your calendars. It is September 20th through the 25th, and the only way that you are going to have access to the summit is if you sign up on my newsletter list. If you go to my website, christinegarvin.com, you will see on the front page there the link for the 2021 Hormone Summit, and you can read all about it. We've got just, incredible, incredible guests this year. Really, they're the top of their field in their, whichever field that they are an expert in. And these interviews have just been blowing my mind, I have to admit, just absolutely blowing my mind. I cannot wait to share them with you guys. So when you sign up, you will get, an email letting you know that you're in the summit, and that you'll also get reminded the week before. And basically every day during that week, we will be sending out the interviews for that day. You can check out the schedule already on my website, again, christinegarvin.com. We're also doing some great giveaways. There's some really wonderful companies that have donated some products for us to give away as part of this year's summit, including Nordic Naturals and Femme Pharma and Asheville Salt Cave, and there's going to be more on the way. So you get to get some free cool stuff too alongside all of the great information that you're going to get on the summit. So don't forget to go ahead and grab your spot. Even if you were signed up last year or the year before, people keep asking me this, you actually have to go in and sign up again because it ends up being a separate list for the 2021 Hormone Summit. So I want to make sure that you are on it and that you are going to be getting this information. Make sure that you mark my email is not spam, and check your spam if you don't get an email, pretty quickly after you sign up, because unfortunately just with these newsletter lists, they go to spam a lot, I understand it, and it's tough for those of us, when you sign up for something and then you never get it, it's kind of frustrating. So I want to make sure that you have access to the summit. So if you don't get an email into your inbox right away, then check your spam folder and then mark it not spam. I also want to mention that a program I've been working on for a long time is now officially open and ready for your enrollment if it fits for you, and that is my Thrive in Perimenopause program. So it's been a very kind of soft launch. If you are on my newsletter list, then you know about it. That's the only place that I've actually talked about it in public. This is the second place. So I basically want the spaces to be open first and foremost to people that have been, following my work, have been learning from me and from obviously all the wonderful guests that we've had on the podcast and information I put out, and who have found it useful and then are ready to take it to the next level if they find themselves in perimenopause, which one of the things I teach is most women don't understand that we actually hit perimenopause at age 35. So really that 35 to 50-ish, and I always say 50-ish because not every woman hits menopause at 50. Some women hit menopause at 55. Some hit it at 45. So it's just that average age of 50. So 35 to 50-ish, we're really going through this incredible life-changing time of our lives that has not given enough attention or focus, and most women just don't know what to do, especially when, the real intense symptoms come knocking at their door. And so this program is a culmination of everything that I've learned, on myself, that I've learned through trainings, that I've learned in working with clients on what helps this to not be this horrendous time of your life, you know, that your second puberty, to make it really one of the best times of your life because you are getting to know your body and how it works on a completely different level, and really grounding into who you are. And it's so, so powerful, such a powerful time of life. Let's, you know, set this message about this time of life as not being we're crawling into a hole never to be heard from again, but rather we're really standing and stepping into our power as women. So I hope that you check that out if that's something that is calling to you at all. That's also on my website, christinegarman.com/thriveinperimenopause. So lots going on over here. I hope everything is good in your world. Today's episode is all about skin health. I know that's a big one for so many. And this is pretty cool because it's all about following your cycle and cleaning your skin depending on what's going on in your cycle, or excuse me, where you are in your cycle, which just, you know, makes perfect sense. We talk about that all the time for foods, for movement, why not skin? So I hope you learn a ton from the great interview today, and I will see you again next week. Hey there, and welcome to Hormonally Speaking. I'm your host, Christine Garvin, a functional health coach. Each week, I speak with an incredible guest expert on all things women's hormones. We're here to empower you to take back control of your body, health, and well-being, and to learn about the latest in research and solutions when it comes to getting your hormones happy. No part of this podcast should be construed as medical advice, and we always recommend working with a professional practitioner to figure out what's best for your body. Now let's dive in with today's guest. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. Glad to have you here with us. I'm really excited this week to bring on a woman who is doing something really cool that I think is really necessary when it comes to our skin health, and that is working with your cycle and skin health. So I've had other people on the podcast talking about syncing up, you know, your exercise with your cycle, syncing up your work and lifestyle with your cycle. So of course, like, why wouldn't your skin go through these different phases too, right? So we're going to talk today with Rachel Krause, who's the owner and founder of Dirty Peach Skin, an innovative skincare company that uses the power of clean products and cycle syncing to kick hormonal acne to the curb. We formulate products to be safe for women's hormones and fertility, and they believe in changing the beauty industry by making skincare more about women's health and less about beauty. Rachel has been formulating products for close to a decade and recently found herself in the women's health industry after having multiple issues with hormonal acne and period problems, all of which was solved by her own products and cycle syncing. You can find her at dirtypeachskin.com. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is so cool. As I was saying, like, I mean, it makes perfect sense and it's not really out there, right? I mean, you created this because you didn't find it, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah. I started kind of looking and I was like, there has to be something that talks about women's health and menstrual cycle after I started hearing about cycle syncing. I was like, this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I sort of already started doing it for myself because I was already in the habit of kind of tinkering around with my own products. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, other women have to need this. Like, it cannot be the only one who's struggling and having these questions. Like, it can't just be me.
So absolutely.
That's kind of where it came up from.
Well, and you know, you mentioned acne in the bio, which is such a big thing for so many women, you know, whether sort of you're, you know, younger, I mean, a lot of times early in puberty, you know, or even all of puberty, a lot of us will deal with acne and maybe we'll grow out of it in our 20s, maybe not, you know, and then sometimes like it's gone for a while and then boom, you hit your 40s and perimenopause and it comes back. And so it's like, so frustrating for so many women, you know, particularly you think of maybe acne breakouts right around your period, right? Or right before. So let's break down a little bit, maybe, you know, sort of what acne is all about for people that don't know, and then go into these different cycles that you know, lead us up to our period and when things get a little crazy.
So yeah, acne is something that a lot of women struggle with. And like you said, especially in those those younger years, right when you're about to go through this puberty spout, when you're starting to get your period. And for a long time, we did not realize that this was really connected to our hormones. Mm-hmm. And we thought it just had to do with like oil levels, which in a lot of ways it does. But a lot of hormones control those oil levels in your skin. So especially closer to your period, where a lot of your hormones are dropping in their levels, especially estrogen, which is known as like the sebum fighting hormone. Sebum is that oil that is produced naturally by your skin. And when you have too much oil being produced, too much of that sebum being produced, things get a little crazy and you start having like clogged pores, breakouts, a lot of sensitivity. And so during your period, it's very natural for like you to have a little bit more of those breakouts, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be prevented or dealt with in a more medical way. And so there's a lot of different types of acne. And what we really deal with is those hormonal breakouts that have to do with what your hormones are going through during your cycle and how we can really nurture them and help to keep your skin healthy. So a lot of times, like I said, when your estrogen levels are really low and you start to break out, your skin barrier is also going to be a lot more sensitive. It's going to be a little bit like more vulnerable. You're going to have a lot more like red spots. You don't want to be using ingredients that are like over exfoliating, or have a lot of like fragrances or really even just harsh ingredients in them. Whereas when you're ovulating, your skin is going to be a little bit tougher. It's going to have a little bit more of a glow to it because you've got higher estrogen levels and your body's just working a lot more optimally for you while you are ovulating. And so you're going to need things that you can do a little bit harsher ingredients on it, where it's like using those acids to help exfoliate and really bring out that glowing skin and being able to help carry that natural healthiness into the other stages of your cycle.
Nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So for those of you that haven't, you know, heard about the different sort of phases of the cycle, let's maybe break that down for them, you know. So, and when we say cycle, we mean the entire thing. A lot of times women will think that's just your period, but it's actually your entire menstrual cycle.
Yeah. And that's the really cool thing is when we learned about periods, we thought it was just, oh, it's just your period. And then like ovulating was like right after that. At least what I learned.
I don't, so I feel like I don't even understand ovulating for years, you know, like,
it's crazy. Like how much detail there is in it.
Yeah.
And we just kind of learned this very surface level portion of it. So for those of you guys who don't know, there are four different phases of your cycle. You've got your menstrual, you've got follicular, ovulation, and then luteal. And so during these four different phases, your body is going through these different changes really to help get you pregnant. That's kind of like its main goal.
Even if you don't want to get pregnant, we want our hormones to be working in the way that they are trying to get you pregnant.
Yes. And so there are these different rises and falls of different types of hormones. And it's really just changing your body through all of these really different, crazy, incredible ways. And so while your body is going through these changes, your skin is also going to be going through these changes of rising and lowering estrogen, oestrogen levels, progesterone, all of these things that are going to be affecting your everyday like wellness and just being.
So when, you know, we're talking, so you've got your period and some people lump that a little bit in with follicular, but really it's kind of, you know, easier to think of your period and then your essentially your follicles are starting to, you know, grow and do their business heading towards ovulation after your period ends. So let's talk about that stage first. So what should people be focusing on with their skincare in that stage?
In that follicular stage? So your follicular stage can also be kind of like split into two parts because you've got the part where you're coming right out of your period and your skin specifically is going to still be a little bit more on the sensitive side, but it's going to be moving towards like the tougher, more glowy side of things in that second half of it. So that first half, those really like 3 to 5 days after your period, you're still going to be wanting to like using something very gentle on your skin. Definitely wearing SPF like nobody's business. And not over exfoliating. Don't try and use any sort of like crazy facial masks. Because a lot of times those just break down your top skin layer.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that second half, your skin is going to start to feel a little bit stronger, a little bit more firm. You're going to have a little bit more secretion of like collagen throughout your hormones.
We like collagen.
Yes. Yes, we do. And so there's really those two parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second half leading up to ovulation, you can start to use some more chemical exfoliants, some more acids,
mm-hmm.
throw in a little bit more fun serums in there,
mm-hmm.
really start like using this as a way to like test what's really going to help and be good for your skin. If you are like 25 or older, I would suggest using a retinoid during this time to really help okay. to provide more support. Like I said, to be able to help carry you throughout mm-hmm. the rest of your cycle. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Gotcha. And so then when you're in your luteal, are you sort of heading back towards the sensitivity at that point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's when things start to decrease a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to be taking a little bit more care mm-hmm. of your skin in these stages, but you can also still like add in some serums there to help provide more support. Cause you're not quite in the stage of like total sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind
mm-hmm.
of heading there. Gotcha. So again, you want to be able to use products that are going to be supporting you mm-hmm. until you get to that part where you really just need to be in a more calm, like caring mode versus mm-hmm. like support and getting prepping up for, you know, this larger event.
Gotcha. So when you say serums, like for example, what kind of serums?
So I would really use, I really like niacinamide serums.
Okay.
Something that's really simple. Sometimes you see serums and they're like, oh, we do brightening and tightening and like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets really dicey because you're adding so many different ingredients and it can honestly be a little bit unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And unless mm-hmm. you are like an expert in ingredients, it can be really hard to know what mm-hmm. to use. So the first thing I would suggest is try not to mix ingredients almost ever.
Okay.
In your cycle, unless you know like what you're using.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to use stuff that's a little bit brightening.
Okay.
Or like I said, a retinoid in that more ovulation,
mm-hmm.
something that's
mm-hmm.
going to help to tighten your skin a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just like a squalene kind of serum that's just going to be providing a lot of moisturizing to really help and prepare your skin for excess of oil and less of moisture.
Okay. So I feel like I see a lot of like vitamin C stuff on the market now and like vitamin A stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Vitamin C is really tricky.
Okay.
It can be a really unstable ingredient, especially when mixed with retinol, mm-hmm. which is vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also get a little dicey in the sun.
Mm.
So I would suggest for people that are in really sunny areas during the summertime, I personally don't use a lot of vitamin C. Mm-hmm. I do have one serum that I use and it's like an oil serum,
mm-hmm.
but I only use it at nighttime
gotcha.
Because it's going to be on there. It's the only thing that's going to be on my skin. It helps to moisturize. It's also got some jojoba oil in there, mm-hmm. which is the best oil in my opinion for your skin.
Okay.
It matches the same texture and consistency that your skin naturally produces as oil.
Mm.
And so it really helps to moisturize and just condition your skin really
mm-hmm.
well. But vitamin C is one of those things that's like, unless you really know what you're doing, I'm a little skeptical of using it myself.
Gotcha.
And it can be hard to kind of know that balance.
Yeah. I have just noticed that being, you know, especially in sort of the natural skincare market, you see that a lot these days. So I was curious about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something that just came up that you were talking about that I wanted to ask you about. It'll come back to me, but let's talk a little bit about, it's ingredients. That's where I wanted mm-hmm. to get. So, you know, ingredients and actually I'm going to put a little mark in this because this is where I want to go next. Like washing your face with oil, since you were talking about jojoba, I want to touch on that, but let's talk about ingredients first. And just, you know, so many products have like 40 ingredients in them, right? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what is going on with that. And then also sort of how you work in your skincare line.
So I like to have my own little rule that I use when I'm looking at stuff. I don't like any more than 20, and that's kind of even pushing it as far as how long that ingredient list is.
Yeah.
Because you can use apps like, I think it's like EWG.
The Environmental Working Group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different websites out there that help you to check what the ingredients are.
Mm-hmm.
When you have like a list of 40 different things.
Right. And things you can't pronounce.
You know what you're talking about. It's like impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't know.
Yeah.
So I try and stay away from things that have, you know, 40 different things listed.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, as a formulator, I just know that's not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessary. A lot of times.
Is it a lot of additives kind of thing to stabilize or something?
Yes and no. It really just depends on the product. A lot of times when you have, especially serums that can have a lot of stuff in it, they're basically trying to cut their costs by adding ingredients that like you'll recognize as, oh, that's the really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're and like avocado.
Yes. But there's only like 0.01% avocado in there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to like I said, cut their costs and put really cheap stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
While still like giving the idea that there's the expensive good stuff in there.
Right. Right.
That's the first thing that's kind of like shoots up a red flag for me. And then the other thing is it's hard to know even as a formulator how well all of these different ingredients work together.
Yeah.
Because it is chemistry. I mean, that's what it is. When you're creating something, you're working with different chemicals. You know, sometimes that sounds like a scary word, but it is a, you know, a necessary evil. And it can work really well for you. But there's only so much you can know with all of these different, you know, 40 ingredients, how one will mix with the other,
Right.
You know?
Right,
and so that kind of makes me very wary.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people forget too, that, you know, your skin is our biggest organ and you absorb everything from it. Right. And so it's just as important, if not more important than what you put in your mouth, you know, I mean, And so I think, you know, when we see these, there's so many greenwashing products out there now, right? That it'll be like 75% organic ingredients or something like that. And then you look at the label and you're like, there's so many different chemicals in there and things you've never could pronounce or hear of, you know, you're like, that's not good.
I was in Target the other day and I love going to Target, right?
Oh, I bet.
And I like looking at their like beauty section and their skincare section. And I just like looking at the labels and then I like looking on the back of the labels to see how many of these brands are really what they say they are.
Yeah.
And there's very few that are what they say they are. And it really bothers me because it's this beautiful packaging and it's like so well written and marketed. Like this is terrible.
So
much of these products are messing with women's endocrine systems, which in turn are messing with women's fertility.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's just,
yeah,
it makes me sad.
Yep. And you know, one of the things that I focus on a lot in this podcast is, you know, dealing with symptoms of estrogen dominance, right?
Yes.
Fibroids, ovarian cysts, polyps, you know, tender breasts. I mean, the list goes on. And this is one of the many things that, you know, women don't realize do impact their hormones, do impact this kind of rising estrogen levels because these things are xenoestrogens that show up.
They mimic estrogen in your body.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But the other thing that really irritates me is that the FDA and other like organizations that are supposed to, you know, help eliminate these things, they aren't.
No, not and even a little bit.
It just makes me really sad. Like even retinol, something that is notoriously such a really great ingredient. It also has side effects of, because it's regenerating your skin cells so quickly, especially if you're in the sun, it has an extra caution of skin cancer being caused.
Yeah.
And most people don't know this. They just use retinol because they've been told it's really great. And it is.
Yeah.
But nobody tells you the possible side effects of these things.
Well, and
it's banned in the UK for this reason.
For that reason.
Know?
Well, and there, I don't remember the name of it, but there's that medication for acne that I remember was huge.
Accutane,
right? Which is just really high dose vitamin A, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, I know people that I grew up with that had it, like it permanently affected their skin in a negative way. Like it got rid of their acne, but then like they've been paying for it ever since.
Yeah. And when you also look at birth control, most people, a lot of people get on birth control at a very young age because they have bad acne.
Yep.
And it's supposed to help solve it. Yes. But it doesn't solve it. A lot of times it might get rid of it, but it's just kind of turning it off.
Yep.
And offering these fake alternatives. And it's not actually solving anything. It's just kind of putting this band-aid over it.
They're like, we're going to shut down your own hormones. We're going to bring in this exogenous hormones, which, you know, I could go on forever about what those do, but it's, you know, it's our sort of band-aid approach, unfortunately, you know, that, but we're not even taught, you know, and that's why people like you are so important to be out there teaching women about this, you know, and sort of the layers of what goes into hormonal health, because it's not just one thing. People are like, what can I do to help this thing? And I'm like, sit down.
Yes.
We're going to talk for a little while.
There's so much that goes into
it. There's so much to go into it. So what are some ingredients that you are really like, okay, this is like on the do not, you know, do list that people should look out for?
There are a few. The first one I think is kind of like this hot button one. It's sodium lauryl sulfate.
Yes.
Really anything that sulfates, because they do really, really mess with your endocrine system.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so oversaturated in the market. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see sodium lauryl sulfate in everything, and it's supposed to be like a surfactant, which is like the cleansing agent in products.
Okay.
And sometimes I see it in a moisturizer and I'm like, why is this here?
You know? Same thing with alcohol. Why is that in a lot of moisturizers?
So alcohol is, I hate alcohol. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, because the only reason it's in there is to help promote like a certain consistency and there are alternative like ingredients that you can use, but they're just more expensive.
Of course.
And people don't want to spend money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always so annoyed when I see alcohol in a moisturizer. I'm like, that makes no sense to me.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
It's counterintuitive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's almost impossible to find something. I went out looking for like a body lotion the other day. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
That didn't have alcohol in it. And not just like one type of alcohol, but like there's like four different types of alcohol. This is not.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? You're overloading it. So what are some other ingredients that people should
hate? There are different types of ingredients that kind of, they're basically formaldehydes that are terrible for you.
Yeah.
And I can't think of their names off the top of my head, but I can always send you them.
Yeah. Send them and I'll put them in the notes. Yeah. 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 Cause I know people like to have like certain things to look out for, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That are formaldehydes. And I'm just like, this is, I don't know. I personally, I don't know why people put them in there. I don't know what, like, you know, technical use they have in the product, but they're in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look back at even, you know, like, I can't think of the name of it now that my grandmother used to use, but the white stuff, you know, that's been around forever. It's in like a blue jar. I can't think of that. Noxzema, like I think it's the original Noxzema. Anyways, like somebody had brought me some when I was in the hospital and it's like very nice and cooling, you know, but like I looked at the ingredients and I was like, oh my God, this stuff is horrible. And I know that they haven't like changed their ingredients, you know, for 80, 90 years or whatever. So it's like, I feel like it was like the advent of chemicals. They're like, let's just throw it all in together, you know, like, and just they keep doing it.
Yeah. And then the last one, and I think this one gets said a lot, but fragrance. Because fragrance can be anything. It could mean anything. It's got like a list of 300 things that you're allowed to categorize as fragrance, not a fragrance.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. Like fragrance could be something very innocent, but it could also be something that is very not innocent.
Right.
And so that's very why chemically. I don't buy anything with fragrance in it. The CDC actually, headquartered in Atlanta, does not allow products that have fragrance listed in their ingredient list in their base.
Oh, interesting. Because they know.
They know.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to do anything.
They're not letting us know, but they know. Yeah. So I want to go back to using oil as a face wash and hear what you think about that.
I love it.
Okay.
Cool. I know for a long time, like early 2000s, everything was no oil.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No oil.
No poo for no shampoo and no oil. Oh, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
And I hated that trend because I'm like, oil is like,
it's life.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you think about it, it's like oil takes away oil, right? Okay. And it also, it's like specifically jojoba oil. That's my personal favorite. I sometimes literally just put some on and I wear it to bed because it's just so incredible.
Yeah.
Basically what it can do with oil cleansing, it can help remove makeup, dirt, sweat, whatever is kind of left on the surface and inside of your pores and make way for a gentle cleanser to go behind that to really, really deep clean out.
Yeah, in the deep clean.
It helps to, it's like a carrying mechanism.
Gotcha.
Great things out.
So on its own, it's not necessarily enough. You want to add a cleanser after kind of opening up with the oil. Okay.
You could always do it alone. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like as a cleanser. So use it as the primary to remove all of the dirt. And then as a secondary to keep on as a moisturizer. That's not necessarily a bad technique. I always suggest to try and do a double cleansing because whatever that oil doesn't carry out, the second cleanser can.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it just kind of helps for a more productive and effective clean.
Makes sense.
And so Cause I
have actually done oil cleansing for years, but then I usually follow it up with like a hydrating rose thing that I'll kind of like cleanse over whatever. Cause I have rosacea. And so I have to, you know, I definitely have sensitive skin. But I'm always like, am I getting enough cleanser happening here? So that makes sense to me that going in with a second round would be a good option. Yeah. Any tips on rosacea since I brought it up?
Rosacea can be a little difficult just because it is much more of like that medical, issue, but jojoba oil. Honestly, I really think it's just like such an incredible tool. Whenever I get hyperpigmentation and different dark spots or really red blotchy spots on my skin, I try and leave that on overnight and I use it, you know, for a period of a week and it helps almost just dissolve that issue right away.
Nice.
Which is really awesome. But I would also suggest just trying to make sure that the skin is very well hydrated, and using things, especially with no alcohol in it or fragrance, like really staying away from those just bad things. And then I wouldn't exfoliate, like using chemical exfoliants more than twice a month.
Yeah. I never, I mean, I know it's probably not good, but I don't ever do them because it's just like so harsh on my skin, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some skin, we all have different levels of like skin barrier, thickness. And so sometimes, you know, people can use it once a week. I don't usually suggest that, especially during, you know, your luteal and menstrual phase, because it's just going to make matters worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like to use it like when I'm ovulating, I leave it on like 10 minutes. The Ordinary has some really, really cool stuff, for very affordable prices. And I leave it on for like 10 minutes. I rinse it off and then I use, jojoba oil right after to help replenish. And so it's all about balance, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think about castor oil? Cause that's such a like hot thing right now. And is that good for cleaning skin or no?
Castor oil is okay.
Okay.
It's a very cheap oil.
Gotcha. Yeah. So and I know there are definitely levels of what you can get out there, you know? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Of what's so it's not like bad, but it can be really hard to find a really high quality one. I personally have not loved it when I've used it on my skin. Another one that I really like is actually sweet almond oil. So if you don't have any, like nut allergies, I really enjoy using that one. It's a little bit thicker and I like to use it to make my own masks at home. Just get some like bentonite clay, mix it on in there.
Nice.
And it's simultaneously stripping of oil with the clay and also replenishing with the sweet almond oil. And I think it's a really great balance.
Yeah.
So that's the secondary one that I use most often.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about your products and, you know, just what you have going on in terms of the different phases and all of that. Like, I think I saw you have a package, right? That has for all the different phases.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Right now we're only offering cleansers. We really just want to kind of spread awareness with it before we go super deep and crazy and with everything.
Yeah.
So we offer four different cleansers. We also have, like I said, a package on our website that puts it all together. You get a sweet little discount when you buy all of them together, as well as a guide to help you like figure out how to use the products and also how to start cycle syncing as well. So it's kind of like two-dimensional. But yeah, so we have the four different cleansers. We have a jelly cleanser that's made for your menstrual cycle. It really helps to strip, and it's very gentle, and also helps to moisturize really well.
Nice.
And then for your follicular phase, we have a clay foaming cleanser. So it'll start off as a powder. It's got some rose, kale, and clay in there, and like a very gentle surfactant. And it'll help to kind of replenish some pigment into your skin very nicely with that clay color. Nice. And it also has very, very, very slight exfoliation to kind of help, you know, rejuvenate your skin with after
that dead skin off.
Yes. And then we have for your ovulatory phase, we have an oil cleanser, mainly jojoba oil. And that just really helps to, again, set your skin up for success later in your cycle, where in your ovulation phase, you're going to have the most glowing skin. You're going to feel really healthy and great. And this just kind of helps set you up for success. And then we have a green tea gentle foaming cleanser for that luteal phase.
Nice. Okay. So people can buy those individually, or they can buy it all together in a package.
Yes. Yeah. You've got those two different options. Yeah. So a lot of people just want to use one, like the jelly cleanser, just for their period, especially if you're just starting out and you have no idea what's going on with your cycle.
Right.
You know what your period is.
Right.
You know, it's pretty obvious.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so a lot of people will just start with that one.
Yeah.
And then once they start to figure out their cycle a little bit more, they kind of move up a little bit.
Yeah. So I love that you include, you know, teaching how to track your cycle. This is something that I personally did not do until about 5 years ago. I'm like, ladies, start much younger, you know. And actually on the upcoming Hormone Summit, there will be an interview all about how to track your cycle. But it's amazing, right, for your overall hormone health to understand your body on a different level. Like, your body tells you so much, right, when you start tracking this. Like, it's fantastically amazing, you know. And you know, I'm not against birth control in the fact that it obviously has given women, you know, the choice in their life to be able to have children or not, and to be able to do, you know, to live in the way that they choose. And we have this really natural way that, you know, you can only get pregnant for a very short time in the month. And if you start doing this tracking of your cycle, then you're able to figure out when that is.
Yes.
And really have even more control in so many ways, right? While still working with your own hormones. And you brought up fertility issues earlier, you know, and I see that all the time too, for from all the stuff, from the birth control pills, from the environmental issues, from all of it, you know. And so really, the earlier you can start on tracking your cycle, right, the better, and working with your hormones as they are, especially if you want to have kids later. In your life, you know? So, are there any things that you have found, you know, in your research around skin that you also feel like, oh, this particular food or this particular, supplement is good around, you know, that phase?
A lot of supplements won't directly affect your skin unless you're already like just kind of taking care of yourself, especially a myth that really bothers me is collagen supplements.
Yes. Oh yeah. People think it goes right to making collagen.
Yes. And it doesn't.
No, I'm like, it's broken down in your stomach, just like every other food, and your body will use it where it's needed.
Yeah. So that's always my pet peeve. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I like marketing, I fell for it a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
I started taking them and I was like, not really noticing.
You're like, nothing's happening here. Yeah.
So not necessarily anything to take. I try and take things like, you know, magnesium, vitamin D to just promote overall health, because overall health is really going to affect your skin. There's not a lot of things that will really directly affect your skin. I really like to take vitamin E to help promote elasticity as well as just hydration. A lot of times it helps, you know, promote different healthier oils in your skin. And so,
yeah. And I'll just put in a plug here for gut health, you know, being a huge intricate part of skin health too. Right. And I don't know that you can, well, you can't really get hormonally balanced without getting that gut in check, you know? And I think the same is true. Like, and skin, I think, is really hard for people because it can be sort of the last thing that gets better, right? Because you're working on your gut healing, you're, you know, getting maybe some of the nutrients that you've been missing, and your body's using them for like the more vital things first, right? And so then it can take 3 months or more for the skin to start really looking different than it was before.
Yes. And I will also say, this is slight tangent. When I first got off of hormonal birth control, I broke out like crazy. Like, it was ridiculous. So that is like the post hormonal birth control syndrome, right?
Yes. Yes.
Your body's like, okay, what the heck's going on? Like, what are we doing here? And so I would say to women that are thinking about getting off or have just gotten off, like, stay calm. Yeah. Like, it's going to regulate out again, as long as you're taking care of yourself.
100%.
I think, yeah, there's just a lot of, especially because it's so external and everybody sees it right away, we can be really insecure about our skin. And that's something that we really want to change about. Like, we want to make it less about what we look like and more about how we feel. Because having a few pimples like during your period, it's completely normal.
Yeah.
We really want to make sure that your skin is healthy.
Yeah.
And that it is well taken care of. And in turn, that like, you are well taken care of. And so part of our mission is to really help women feel comfortable in who they are and really just take control of their health and stop being so focused on what we look like.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. And that's such, I mean, you know, as I get older, and whatever, all the things that I've gone through and the changes to my body from surgeries and things like that, you know, I do appreciate, I appreciate the time that we're in, that we do have many more role models talking in this way, right? Despite still all the Instagram filters and et cetera, there's, you know, you can find really good people to sort of, look up to in this arena that we didn't used to have. And, you know, absolutely, like, taking care of yourself, but also having fun in life, which I know can be really tough right now in lots of ways for a lot of people, but that is going to show up too on your skin, right? Like, your joy in life, and, you know, stress plays such a huge role in all of this too, and in our hormonal balance too. So, you know, getting all of those ingredients and really pulling back on looking at yourself to just pick on your body, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what so many women do, you know, and I totally get it. I've done that for so much of my life, you know, and with skin, especially if you have something like rosacea or, you know, that's really obvious, like, I get it. And the more I worried about it, the worse it was, for sure. You know, it's like pulling back on, it's always a good idea. So did you get on birth control because of acne initially? Was that your reasoning?
So I actually got on birth control when I got married and there was the possibility of having children. I was like, not ready for that. But I was always like really pushed to get on it when I was younger because I always had a really irregular cycle. And at first the doctor was like, oh, it's completely normal. Like, I feel like 6 months without having a period.
Wow.
I was like, this is, I don't think this is normal. And they're like, no, it's normal. I was like, okay, whatever you say. And then when my period would come around, it was just like, it was horrible.
It was hell.
Like, didn't want to go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. And so I was kind of finally open to the idea of getting on it as like a form of, at first I thought it was, you know, regulating my cycle and doing all of this different stuff. And then when I started really researching it, I was like, oh, we need to get off this as soon as we can, because I was lucky and I was only on it for like 3 years. Where a lot of women are on it for like a decade.
Or longer.
Longer.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I was just at the CVS Minute Clinic like 2 weeks ago. And the lady was like, oh, like asking me about birth control, like if I was on it. And I was like, no, like we're just doing like the FAM method. And,
and they're like, what?
Everything. Yeah. I don't think she knew what it was.
Yeah.
Not half the time. Also was like, really trying to prescribe me birth control. I was like, no, I
know.
This is the CVS Minute Clinic. Like, Like, yeah. No.
You're all back off, man. I'm just trying to like pick up my cold medicine. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I like had a, I thought maybe I had strep and she's like, oh, you need birth control for this. Yeah. I was like, no, please no.
Yeah.
So
it drives me crazy, but you know, that's little by little, we're out there educating. Right. So hopefully more and more people. And I think at least now there's starting to be studies on sort of some of the long-term impacts of birth control, you know, pills, and there's more questioning. I remember there was like a big, I think it was in like New York Times last year or, you know, something big like that, like talking about this. And so at least the discussion's starting to happen, but it's going to be, it's going to be a hot minute until
it gets around.
Yeah. So, well, this was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge on skincare and like, so cool.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So cool that you started this line. Do you plan to like start bringing in more stuff past cleansers at some point?
Yes. I would love to, hopefully in the next kind of like 3 years, have just a full line for each phase. Like really have it set up where, you know, we wouldn't have an exfoliant for, you know, your menstrual phase, but we would for that ovulation phase, and really just make it super easy for women to know, okay, I don't have to really even think about it. I just know, you know, this is all this of the research that has been done. And I just want to really make it simple for people.
I like it. Yeah. People like that too, for sure.
Yes.
So for now they can go to dirtypeachskin.com and order up that kit. And that's definitely on my list to do here this weekend, because I'm super excited about trying it out. And, you know, yeah, I'm like, I love anything that helps me along with my cycle. So, and especially skin, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I had a really great time. And I was so happy to be able to talk and, you know, share information and just be a part of this conversation.
Absolutely. And people should follow you on Instagram too, which is also at Dirty Peach Skin.
Yeah. So it's like dirty.peach.skin.
Gotcha. Okay. Because you have lots of fun little videos on there and reels and everything, and educating people on all this stuff. So it's a really powerful thing that you're doing. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, you guys, I'll see you next time. If you've been listening to this podcast in iTunes, could you take a minute and go hop over and leave us a review? It really is the biggest, simplest, and most impactful way for you to help the podcast continue to share all this great information for free. We really appreciate you taking the time.